Well, as always, friends, grace and peace be unto you from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As I promised last Sunday, we'll spend the next few Sundays addressing some of the well-known sayings that many believe are found in the Bible, but they're not. The first one we'll look at this morning is the most common one of them all. God helps those who help themselves. Now, as I just alluded to, this saying appears nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in any scriptures. But it sounds like it should be in the Bible, doesn't it? It sounds like it's something that deserves biblical status, but it's not. It's not, even though it's not unusual when saying like this becomes popular. We think that it has some biblical scriptural authority behind it. Well, the truth is that a Greek philosopher named Aesop, who came up with Aesop's fable, he was the one who coined this saying. But then, back then, his saying was, the gods help those who help themselves. But then 2,300 years later, our own Benjamin Franklin appropriated the saying, and instead of the gods, he simply said, God helps those who help themselves. Now, even though this saying is not in the Bible or anywhere in Scripture, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. There's a kernel of truth in this saying. There is an aspect of veracity in this saying, a truth that most of us Christians can relate to. That's why we think that it ought to be in the Bible, because we as Christians can identify with the truth within this saying. And that truth is this, that when it comes to our day-to-day living, when it comes to our day-to-day life in society and in the world, there are certain times, there are certain things that we have to do for ourselves. There's certain times and certain things that we have to take some ownership on, that we have to take some responsibility for ourselves in order to have what we got and have what we need in life. Now, I suspect that there are those who are what I call super Christians. They can say, well, Pastor, I don't have to do anything to have and get what I need. My faith and trust in God is strong. All I have to do is pray for what I need, and God will give it to me. If there's anyone in the room, in the house, that have such strong faith, I say, that's great. That's wonderful. But I have to tell you that you don't have a God. You have a genie. Someone that you fold your hand and you blink, and whatever it is happens. Appears. That is not how God works. God is not a spiritual vending machine that you press the right button, you feed the machine with currency, and you press the right button, and voila, you get what you need. That is not how God works. You see, the truth is that all the prayers in the world is not going to do us any good if we don't listen and do what God instructs us to do. Therefore, there are some requirements to do something for ourselves. After all, prayer is not just simply talking to God. It's also listening to what God has to say and listening to what God would have us do for the purpose of His will to come into fruition. And when we pray, we have to be prepared, therefore, to move and to act according to His guidance. Yes, God will certainly give us what we need. Jesus told us and promised us that ask whatever you need in my name and my heavenly Father will grant it to you. But he also expects us to not just sit there or sit around and let him do all the work. You see, I believe that God does not call us to simply wait on him to do a miracle. God does that on his own all the time, whether we ask for it or not. I believe that Christians are called not to just simply sit and wait for God to do something. But more often than not, we are called by God to accomplish his will in the world. And if necessary, we're called to use words. See, we have to accept some responsibility for what happens to us in this life. See, the Apostle Paul, in one of his many missionary journeys through Asia Minor, he came into the town or city of Thessalonica. And there he taught the new believers to fully trust in Jesus, to fully trust and rely on Jesus to provide for all their needs. And Paul taught them that Jesus will return someday, probably sooner than they would expect. So rely on Jesus for all you need. Well, some of the believers took Paul's teaching to trust Jesus a little too literally, and they actually quit their jobs with the idea that God will just provide for all their needs without them needing to work for it. So upon hearing this news, Paul decided to write a second letter to the believers in Thessalonica, which we have in the Second Thessalonians. And in this letter, he wanted to make it clear that trusting Jesus did not mean quitting their jobs, did not mean that they're only to wait for manna and money to come from the sky. In other words, Paul wanted them to use and exercise their common sense. Yes, God will provide and he will send help indeed. As the 121st Psalm tells us, I look up to the hills, from where does my help come? It comes from the Lord. He will provide and he will send help indeed. However, this does not free us from the responsibility of doing our part for securing our provisions and doing what is needed in this life. Perhaps you've heard the well-told story. Most pastors like to tell this story, and I apologize if you've heard it before, but like most pastors, I like to tell this story. It's a story about a man who was caught in a flood. He ignored the pleas of the local officials to evacuate the premises. He simply says, no, I will not. I trust in God. God will deliver me. And he prayed. And then a little while, a boat came by, but he refused to get on it, trusting in God and God's deliverance. A helicopter flew over, and he refused to get on because he trusted in God and that God will deliver him. Well, sadly, he drowned and died. Upon entering heaven, he expressed his disappointment and anger toward God for not delivering him when he prayed for deliverance. And God said, son, You heard my warnings through the local officials, but you ignored it. And I sent you a boat and a helicopter, but you refused to get on them. What more do you need? Yes, we must help ourselves to an extent. We must do the work sometimes in order to get what God needs us to have. See, God expects us to be able to identify our needs and to accept His guidance for how He intends to provide for them. Now, God does help, but God's help doesn't always come in a big, big newsworthy event, miraculous spectacles like that would be featured on CNN or Fox News. No, God helps, and sometimes that help comes in subtle ways. Often, God uses other people to help us. And we see this time and time again in scriptures with God using people in the course to accomplish His works in the world. For me, in more contemporary times, the biggest example I could think of how God uses people to provide help for us is through the medical providers. Those of us who have been in the hospitals or in clinics or in specialty cares know exactly how wonderful these medical providers are. And yet there are some among us Christians, very wonderful and faithful believers, who think that God's healing only comes directly from God to us. That doctors and nurses and other medical professions are not necessary because God will heal us of whatever ails us. Again, that's great. If you have such faith, that's wonderful. God does heal indeed directly. But I believe that God's healing is also done through doctors and nurses and countless other professionals that work in the medical field. Boy, the knowledge of the human body alone requires some time of studies and knowledge. Only God can provide such guidance. I believe God works His healing. God helps us through the hands and the skills and the minds of the medical professions that we have in society today. But in most cases, in order to receive God's help, in order to be able to be beneficial and to benefit from God's presence and healing hands, we have to go to the clinic. We have to go to the hospital where the help is provided, where the healing is provided. So in this sense, the saying is true. God helps those who help themselves. Now, so far I've spent our time this morning talking about how the idea that God helps those who help themselves has some kernel of truth in it. But now I want to shift gears and talk about how this saying is untrue, especially when it's used to justify the abuse of the poor and the weak. Let me illustrate by this hypothetical situation. Let's say that you're down on your luck. You have tried all that you can to get a job, to find a job. You've tried every possible, feasible, human way possible to make some money, but you just couldn't. You're starving. Your family is starving. So you finally have the courage to swallow your pride and you go to your best friend or a family member and ask for help. But instead of helping you, your friend or your family member simply tells you, I can't help you. I won't help you because the good book says God only helps those who help themselves. And beside the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says that those who will not work shall not eat. So, good luck elsewhere. Now, I hope that those of us who are disciples of Christ know that this simply is unacceptable. In fact, even in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, there are instructions from God for people to leave part of their fields unharvested so that the poor could glean from that field for their survival. It's part of the ways that God provides for the poor and the destitute. And throughout Scripture, we see instructions and commands of God to help the poor. And as we read all those accounts, those stories upon stories in Scriptures, it's enough to give us the sense that the poor, the widows, the orphans have a special place in God's heart. So when we apply God helps those who help themselves in this manner, we are shrugging off our responsibility that we have been given to care for the poor among us. We are called, however, to show compassion because our God has compassion toward us. We are called to be merciful and to be generous because our Heavenly Father is merciful toward us and our Heavenly Father is full of grace. Friends, the good news is that when it comes to our salvation, it is true, there is nothing that we can do to help ourselves. That's why every Sunday we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Only God can save us. That much is true. And He did so through the death and resurrection of His one and only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. Yes, God does indeed help everyone, and He reveals His will and His way to us in Scriptures. But the rub is, we have to be willing to take it, to listen to it, to apply it, and to act on it. And likewise, we are called to have compassion and to be a blessing to those who need a little hand up, not hands out, but a hand up every now and then. Therefore, invoking God only helps those who help themselves to justify our own stubbornness or our unwillingness to help is simply wrong and unChrist-like. See, God does help those who help themselves. But scripturally, God helps those who cannot help themselves. Perhaps He will use you this week to be the hands and feet to help others who cannot help themselves. I pray that it'll be so in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.